Things in the precious name of Jesus. You can open your Bibles for a opening passage to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. The sermon title today is Seven Questions God Still Asks. We're going to look at seven questions in the Old Testament that God asks specifically to different individuals and endeavor to learn some truths from those seven questions. Three of the questions come from the life of Hagar. And that's what you're open to, Genesis chapter 16. I'm going to read some of this story in introduction to these seven questions. I'd like to think about the life of Hagar a little bit in the outstart of this message. Genesis chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Notice carefully the age of Abram. We're going to come back to some of this story as we go along, but right now I'd like you to think about Abram's age. When Ishmael was born, Abram was 86. And we come to chapter 17, and we see we have quite a time lapse, because it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. It's good for us to think about that time lapse, to think about this whole story. I'm not going to read Genesis 17. It's much more familiar to you. I'll refer to it. You can look at it as we go. But we ended chapter 16 with Abram being 86 years old. And we begin chapter 17 with Abram being 99 years old, which would mean that Ishmael is 13 and Sarai is 90. God says in chapter 17, I will establish my covenant. He said that to Abram. And in verse 5, he changes Abram's name to Abraham. And in verse 15, he changes Sarai's name to Sarah. And in verse 16, he promises a son to Abraham and Sarah, and he says his name will be Isaac. Abraham and Sarah were thinking that perhaps Ishmael could be the heir, but God makes it very clear in chapter 17 that Sarah is going to be the mother. So he's not talking about Ishmael, he's talking about Isaac, who is yet unborn. Then we have a number of chapters in between here, which is the story of Lot. But continuing our thoughts on the story that we're focusing on, let's go to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. So we have the ages of our main characters here, as Abraham being 100 years old in verse 5, and that makes Sarah 91, and that makes Ishmael 14. In verse 8, we have that Isaac, the infant child, grew and was weaned. Again, we have a time frame here, and I don't know how much time is there. But if Isaac was 3 years old when he was weaned, then at the end of verse 8 we have Isaac being 3 and Ishmael being 17. coming to verse 9 and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian Ishmael which she had borne unto Abraham mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Notice that Ishmael is called a child here. And we have placed his age at approximately 17. So think about this passage as him being approximately 17. He certainly was not a young child as we would know him today, as we would refer to him. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. Now, when I read that passage years ago, it sounded to me like he was an infant. And she did cast him under the shrub and left him lay. But that's not what that passage means. We know that because we know how old he is. She cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. It's clear that the stress that is in this story is maybe hard for us to understand. But apparently, Hagar and her teenage son Ishmael got lost in the wilderness. Because we see them being brought to a desperate state. Abraham had sent them water and food along for their journey. And I'm sure Abraham, as a loving father, gave them sufficient to get where he planned for them to go. I don't think he just turned them loose with one meal. I think there was some time elapsed there, but apparently their journey did not go as expected. And apparently they became lost in the wilderness. It was hot and dry, that you and I don't know much about a desert. And there was no water. And apparently, Ishmael, the teenage son, was struck by it even worse than his mother. And was so thirsty and hungry that all he could do was lay under the shrub for shade. And he couldn't move anymore. He couldn't walk anymore. We're not told that story, but that seems apparent to me that that's what happened, or something close to that. So the desperateness of the situation is seen there in Hagar. We'll finish reading that passage a little later, looking at some of those questions. Beginning with the seven questions. Seven questions that God still asks. Our first one is found in Genesis chapter 16. We'll go back to that. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 8. The angel of the Lord found Hagar by a fountain of water, and he said, Hagar, whence camest thou? Just three words. Whence camest thou? I just read the story to you, and you have the two pictures of Hagar. The first time she left home and ran away because that was before Ishmael was born. And that's where this is in Genesis 16. And the first thing that God says to her when he finds her in the wilderness by the well, he says, whence camest thou? Where did you come from? What circumstances of life brought you here to sit by the well? Who are you? The truth was, she was the second wife of the rich man, Abram. The truth was, she was with child. The truth was, she had fled because she could not get along with her mistress, Sarai. Whence camest thou? God still asks that question this morning. He's asking you and I that question this morning. Where did you come from? The circumstances of life that are behind you, that have positioned you here this morning, what are they? What brought you here? I believe God asked that question because it's worthwhile for us to reflect on that question. Whence camest thou? It's worthwhile to reflect on that question, especially when life gets difficult and complex, and especially when we face discouragement. Whence camest thou? Notice the angel's advice to Hagar. In a couple words, he says, return and submit. Go back to your mistress and get along with her. Whence camest thou? The second question is not asked to Hagar. It is a very familiar question in the Bible given to us in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. It is, where is thy brother? You know the story well. Cain had just committed the first murder ever in the world. And God comes down to Cain and says, where's your brother Abel? Cain's answer is, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Where is thy brother? Where is your sister? What does it have to do with you? Are you your brother's keeper? Are you your sister's keeper? God says to Cain, what hast thou done? God didn't ask that question because he didn't know, but he said, the voice of thy brother's blood. Does blood have a voice? Yes, it does in the eyes of God. Blood has a voice. God said, I know where the blood is. And that voice from the blood is crying unto me. It's crying for justice. Where is thy brother? Where is thy sister? We conclude from that question and from that passage on the life of Cain that I am my brother's keeper. And I believe that's still true today, and it's good for us to ask that question. And God is still asking that question, where is thy brother? Question number three is again not a question focused at Hagar, but rather another character in the Old Testament, the man Moses. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. I'm just going to look briefly at God talking to Moses here. God had a lot to say in chapter 3 and chapter 4. God is calling Moses to a great work. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, God gave the burning bush to Moses, told him what he wanted him to do, go down to Egypt and bring out his people. And in verse 11, Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" God goes on talking to him in chapter 3. And in chapter 4, verse 1, Moses gets a chance to talk, and Moses says, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." God, they're not going to believe me when I get there. And God said, "Okay, I'll give you some signs." He said, "Pick up your rod and throw it on the ground," and it became a snake. The rod became a snake, and he reached out and grabbed it by the tail and picked it up, and it became a rod again. And he said, "Put your hand into your bosom and bring it out." And he was a leper. God said, "Put it back in again." And he brought it out, and it was clean. And God said, "If they still don't believe you, go out and get some of the river water and dump it on the ground, and it'll turn into blood. Then they'll believe you," God said. "Then they'll believe you. So don't tell me that they won't believe you. I've given you signs." Chapter 4, verse 10, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Down in verse 13, if I dare paraphrase verse 13 in today's language, I think Moses said, "Oh my Lord, send someone else." Moses was full of doubt and excuses. He felt that he was inferior. Human nature is much the same today in 2025. When we're faced with a big task. But the question is found in verse 11, Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Question 3, God said to Moses, "Who hath made man's mouth?" And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" That's question number 3. who hath made man's mouth? This was right after Moses said, I can't speak, I'm slow of speech. And God said, don't tell me that. Who gave you your voice? Who hath made man's mouth? Who hath made you this morning? Who made you the person you are? Who gave you the eyes that you have, the arms, the legs? Who gave you the brain intellect that you have this morning? Well, it's God. And it's good for us to think about that. Who hath made man's mouth? Go back to Hagar in Genesis chapter 21 for question 4. Genesis 21. We left Hagar in verse 16, sitting off to the side so that she would not have to watch her son die. And verse 17 says, and God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Question number 4 is, what aileth thee? What aileth thee? What troubleth thee? Why are you uneasy? Why are you responding in a wrong way in a desperate situation? What aileth thee? And God asks us that question sometimes today. What aileth thee? And yet we see God in his mercy to Hagar. It says, God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Where was the well of water just a little bit ago? She didn't have to go anywhere to get water. The water was already there. Perhaps that's why God asked the question, what aileth thee? The water they were looking for, they were right beside it. But they hadn't seen it because of their desperation. And sometimes God asks us, what aileth thee? The answer is right beside you. Question number 5. I take from 1 Kings chapter 19, the life of Elijah. I'm not going to turn to it. It's a very familiar story again. You remember that after the destruction of all the false prophets of Baal, the great victory that Elijah had on Mount Carmel, after that, Jezebel made a threat for Elijah's life, and Elijah heard it. She, the king of Israel, said, "If you're not dead by tomorrow at this time, the Lord do so to me." And Elijah fled. He fled for his life. He went into the wilderness, and he, after a while, even left his trusted servant, and he went all by himself. And he went into hiding so that he wouldn't be killed. And God came to him with a question. And the question was, "What doest thou here?" What doest thou here? And Elijah answers the question. Elijah recites what happened in his life that I'm sure he already knew that God knew all about, but he recited it all. He told God what had happened. He told God how his life was threatened and that he was going to be killed. That's why he's here. He said, "I'm here because I'm here to save my life." And furthermore, he said, I'm the only one left that is a righteous man in Israel. And God, I just want you to come down and just let me die right here. He was fleeing because Jezebel was going to kill him, but he asked God to kill him right here. I'm the only one left. But God said, "What doest thou here?" And he asked us that question at times. What doest thou here? God told him that he was wrong. God said, "You're not the only one left. I have 7,000 others. It's not true." And God said, "You go and you return and you do this and you take your sword and you kill this person. You anoint this person." God had a recipe for what he should do, and it was go. Don't stay here. It was go. It's good for us to think about God asking us that question, "What doest thou here?" In your life, in your circumstances of life, what are you doing where you are? Are you where God would have you to be? What doest thou here? Question number 6, I take from Jeremiah chapter 23. Turn with me there. Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm breaking in the middle of the passage. You can read more of it sometimes if you like, but I'm just going to look at verse 23 and 24. God speaking, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. And that's my question. Do not I fill heaven and earth? That's a good question for us to think about as we face difficulties and struggles and the joys of life. That God is present in every circumstance of life. God was there before I got there. Do not I fill heaven and earth? To Elijah, that's what God was saying. I'm here. To Cain, that's what God was saying. I'm here. I saw everything that happened. I know. To Hagar, who seemed to be left alone in the wilderness, God is saying, don't you know, Hagar, that I fill heaven and earth? I'm here. And to Moses, who was very fearful of what God told him to do, and gave a number of excuses why he could not do it and why he was inadequate. God said, I'm there, I made you. Do not I fill heaven and earth? For the last one, let's go back to Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. There's a beautiful picture here that I missed for a while in studying the life of Hagar. The question we already read, it's in verse 8. We had this question. There's two questions in verse 8. The first one is, whence camest thou? And the second one is, whither wilt thou go? And that's question number 7. God said to Hagar, where'd you come from? And now, where will you go? Where will you go from here? God understood that Hagar's life was difficult. God in mercy reached down and looked at her situation. But he says, the situations that brought you to this point, Hagar, in your life, situations that brought you right here, the situations that you're discouraged about, the loneliness that you face, the fear of physical death that you face, where did you come from in your circumstances? But now, Hagar, where are you going to go? And he showed her the water. And she and her son drank of the water. This is the first story of Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. But I wonder if what she got a hold of in this passage didn't have a lot to do with what happened in the second scene. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. So this angel, this Lord that spoke to her, she called him, "Thou God seest me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well that she sat by was called Beer Lahairoi." Thou God seest me. You children have probably learned that verse in Sunday school, a very early one to learn. But Hagar came to this point in life, I believe, in both of the stories, of her great need. She came to the realization that her master's God, that Abraham had always talked about, this God also cared about her. The Egyptian maid. This God also saw her. And she said, "I'm going to call him, Thou God seest me." I believe she found that the eye of a merciful God had been upon her. In all her wanderings and afflictions, and she called the name of the well Beer Lahairoi, which means a well to the living one who seeth me. A well to the living one who seeth me. And God gave her some promises about Ishmael's descendants that are very profound. Read them again this afternoon. Think about how true they are. But he pronounced a great blessing upon her life. And he challenged her with, "Whither wilt thou go?" Apply all of these questions to your life this morning. Whence camest thou? Where is thy brother? Who hath made man? What aileth thee? What doest thou here? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Whither wilt thou go? Shall we kneel for prayer?